Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the GSL Podcast. My name is Wendell. This is Season 1, Episode 15. Great episode coming up with some quarterfinal recaps, including a crazy, crazy game between Aldana and Margao. And this week we have a quote from a player from each winning team from the quarterfinals, so get a little bit of insight from their team on how they felt it went. After that, we'll look forward to the semifinals with the top four teams in action, and we'll make some predictions. And finally, we have some end of season awards to hand out. These are GSL Podcast Awards. Some of them serious, some of them not so serious. So we'll get to that later on. All right, no major news in the league this week. So we'll jump right into some match recaps. All right, first up at 10:30 a.m., we had number 3 seed Kolva taking on the 6th seed Donna Paula. In a very, very close game that Kolva ended up winning 1-0. The fact that the game was this close was a testament to Donna Paula really coming out, trying to put on a good showing and make it to the semifinals for the first time in their club's history. And what it took for them to lose was an amazing goal by Gavin Diaz, a strike from well outside the 18-yard box in the middle of play that went top right corner. So a very nice goal from Gavin, especially considering the fact that he was missing his two midfield partners in Aaron and Johnny Van Dreen, who were both away at school. So a very tough and close game, but nonetheless a great result for Kolva, who are moving on to the semifinals. After the game, I spoke with Ryan D'Souza, who said, quote, "Overall, it was a close game as we expected. Donna Paula is a young team that shows a lot of fight. I'm happy we were able to secure a 1-0 lead in the first half, as Gavin Diaz's goal was off a great strike. I thought our defense played a great game as usual, limiting Donna Paula to only a small handful of chances. Brian D'Souza and Chad Fernandez played outstanding in D, and Carlton DeGuerra played amazing in the midfield as we were missing two young starters. Overall, we played well enough to win, but need to be better at finishing as we prepare to face a tough Aguada team in the semis." So a great quote from Ryan, and I think this pretty much summarizes the game in the sense that it came down to them taking their one chance and scoring a goal, but the fact that they weren't able to finish means that the game ended up being very close, and Donna Paula did have a number of chances, especially near the end of the game, that Ryan was able to save or the defense was able to clear. So a great effort from Donna Paula. Looking forward, Ryan already kind of mentioned the fact that against a team like Aguada in a semifinal, you really need to take your chances because you know Aguada is full of goals. You know they're going to get some chances and score. So you have to make sure you take your chances. This spells the end of the season for Donna Paula. Looking back at this season, I think it would still be a great success. In the first episode, I said their goals for the season should be to be more competitive in games so they don't get blown out. And they should try not to finish last place. And as I said in the first episode, trying not to finish last place may sound like a slight, but it's really not because they finished last place 3 seasons in a row. So the fact that they were able to finish 6th instead of 7th this year is huge for them going forward. And it builds confidence that they can continue to rise up the ladder. Another thing to note is that Donna Paula was way more competitive in their games this year. A lot of their games were one goal differences. They managed to win some games by one goal and get some notable ties throughout the season. So a great, great season for them overall, something to build off of, and hopefully they can get all their players back next year and continue to rise up the ladder. All right, moving on to the other 10:30 a.m. game, we had an insane battle between Aldana and Margao. This game was an instant classic featuring two players being sent off, two great goals, and a penalty shootout that went to sudden death that had a huge crowd watching all around the sidelines. So starting off the recap of this game, this was the number 4 seed Aldana versus the 5th seed Margao, and I predicted that this would be the closest and best game of the weekend just because the teams are so similar in level of talent and in the standings and their previous results. Also, the two previous games we played were 2-1 for Margao and then 2-1 for Aldana, so two very, very close games decided by a goal. As soon as the game started, you felt that it was going to be a very close affair and that it might just take one goal to separate the teams. When it comes to the playoffs, you need your players to step up and not only play well, but do things that they've been unable to do the whole season. And that pretty much summarizes the first goal by Nicholas Roach for Aldana. Roach has been playing very well this season, however, has yet to score a goal the entire year. And this is coming from someone who has had numerous chances in front of the net and a lot of breakaways. Now, some of the breakaways are created by himself using his speed and moves, but other ones are through balls or great passes from his teammates that he just has never been able to score. So in the first half, when Richard Fernandez made an amazing run, had a through ball to Roach in the 18-yard box, it was a different player. He moved to the ball, one touch, pass into the far right corner, passed the goalie and scored, and gave Alden a 1-0 lead. So a great goal from him and a great time to get his first goal for the season. Margao is always a team that they play to a certain level, but as soon as they go behind, they really ramp it up and increase the pressure immediately. And this is what we felt. So our goal was just to get to halftime at 1-0, because almost all the time against them, we would get a goal, but then they would score almost immediately right back. So we were playing hard on defense, managing the pressure, and luckily we made it to halftime with a 1-0 score. In the second half, it was a very even game with chances back and forth. No clear-cut goal-scoring chances, but that was fine for us. We were up 1-0. And I remember with about 15 minutes left in the game, they substituted Nikhil out, who was playing striker at this point, for Elton. And I remember thinking, I don't know why they keep putting Elton striker, because he's not a striker. Is it for experience, or why are they playing him there? But literally 1 minute later, off a corner kick, the ball bounced around a lot, a poor clearance from our team, and Elton rose and headed it to the top right corner. So a great goal by him, and evening up at 1-1, and Margao was going wild, the fan base was going wild, because they knew that they were back in the game. So full credit to Elton for a great goal. I would love to hear the strategy behind putting him striker. As I previously mentioned, he is a center defenseman, so maybe they thought his heading prowess, or just, I think it was just based on his experience. He's a really good veteran, so they wanted him up there to capitalize on the small chances that they would get. So their strategy worked. It was 1-1, and at this point, it was going to be very tough for us to get a second goal on them. They were much more organized, much more motivated, so we were playing a little bit for a tie and trying to get to overtime. This led to the most controversial moment of the game, when the Aldana defenseman, in an attempt to clear the ball, hit the ball off a Margao player who tripped and fell forward over him on the way to the net. From our standpoint, we definitely felt that it was not a foul and that it shouldn't have been a sending off, but that's just the way it goes sometimes. Sometimes you get calls for you, sometimes you get calls against you. But this put us in a very difficult position, because we went down 10 men against one of the best teams in the league, and they already ramp up the pressure when you're at full strength. So to go down to 10 men makes it even more difficult. So this was about 10 minutes left in the game. We lost one of our center defensemen, leading to us really having to reorganize and just desperately hold on till overtime. Overall, it should be noted that the discipline in this game was horrendous. There were 11 yellow cards handed out throughout the course of the game, pretty evenly between both teams, with both teams getting stupid yellow cards for arguing with the ref or yelling at the ref or late tackles or elbowing. Just a lot of stupid yellow cards being given out for just complete lack of mental discipline. A good example of this is in the first half, when Aldana's Jason D'Souza went in for a tackle and hit the ball out of bounds and totally avoided contacting the player. However, this was in front of the Margao bench, who felt that he went in with 2 feet or that it was a dangerous tackle. This led to a huge uproar from the bench and a lot of arguing with players, refs getting involved, and it led to a lot of yellow cards being handed out. So this is just an example of some of the stupid outbreaks that would happen throughout the game. And the reason I'm mentioning this is not only because it was frustrating and delaying the game constantly, but this actually played a significant role in the game, because as we headed to overtime, about 3 minutes into overtime, Margao's Bradley Pereira got a second yellow card for a late tackle. This meant that he was sent off with a red card in overtime, evening up the game 10-on-10, which was a great break for us, because not only is he one of Margao's best players and one of the best defensemen in the league, as shown by the All-Star voting, he probably would have stepped up to take a penalty later on. This also meant that for the last 15 minutes of overtime, it was 10-on-10, so the game became much more even. Whereas if he was in the game, I'm convinced Margao would have had a lot more chances, a lot more pressure, and probably with 5 minutes left, he would have actually pushed up the field into a center mid position, which he normally does to apply more pressure and create goal scoring chances. So it was a huge break for us that he was sent off, because it made us feel like we were back in the game and we could actually come out here with a victory and just play for penalties, which is exactly what we did. So off to the penalty shootout we go, and whenever it comes to penalties, you can never plan in advance. It's always in that moment, who are the 5 most confident penalty takers? It's only if you have more than 5 people that are confident and want to take it, then you can say, oh, okay, you're a better shooter than I am, or you have a better history of penalty taking. But the fact is, you need to look around your team, and you can always tell who the confident people are and who are the people that might be good at shooting but are just way too nervous to take one. So for us, for example, we had 5 people that stepped up immediately and said, yeah, we'll take the 5. But after that, we had no one on our team that wanted to take a penalty shot. Looking across at Margao, because they lost Bradley, there were definitely some players you knew were going to take a penalty, like Dwayne and Gavin. But I was interested to see who else would step up in that moment, because it is a lot of pressure, especially if it's your first penalty shootout in the playoffs. Aldana won the toss, so they elected to shoot first, and the first three shooters from both teams all scored. All of them were great penalties. The goalie didn't really have a chance, so all six shooters stepping up and doing their job. Leading up to the fourth shooter for Aldana, Mark Pereira. Now, Mark Pereira needs to be called out here because he is someone who has claimed he has never missed a penalty shot in a game ever in his life. I know what you're thinking. There's no way that's possible, and I agree, but he's actually said this out loud, that he's never missed a penalty shot. So, I mean, cometh the hour, cometh the man, and he steps up and shoots it right down the middle at the goalkeeper, who saves it easily and gives Margao a advantage in the penalty shootout. So at this point, we were really, really worried. We knew our goalkeeper, Justin, was good for at least one save because he saves a goal almost every single penalty shootout we've ever had. But still, you still want to do your job and score all five so that you can win. So up steps Dwayne Lobo Perez for Margao, who I think if I were to pick anyone on Margao besides Gavin, I think I would be most confident that Dwayne would score. So Dwayne took his shot, top right corner, but he just missed the net. So it was the perfect height and power, but it was to the right of the post instead of the left. So he actually missed, and we were going wild because we were back even. It was three goals each and going to the fifth shooter. So Calvin Rosario stepped up for Aldana, scored. So all the pressure was on the Margao shooter, a younger defender who actually had to step up, but he buried it. So we responded very well to the pressure. I was really impressed, and we went to sudden death shootout. So as I mentioned before, we had five people that were confident and wanted to take penalties, but once you get into the sudden death, you're really picking people now that did not want to take penalties, or else they would have been in the five. So for us, that was the hero of regular time for us, Nicholas Roach, with his first goal. He stepped up and calmly put the ball in the bottom right corner. So a great penalty shot from him. And once again, the pressure was all on Margao's shooter again. So he stepped up and he put it kind of down the middle, a little bit to the left under the crossbar. But Justin Da Silva in net with a great diving save, tipped it up off the crossbar and over, giving us the win. So we were going nuts. Felt bad for the Margao shooter, who was very inconsolable, and Elton did a good job of making him feel better because he was bawling. He was absolutely in tears that he let his team down. But that's just the nature of penalties. That's why they call it the lottery. It takes a little bit of luck and composure, and one team has to come out on top. So overall, a very, very good game. Two very even teams, and the fact that they went to penalties shows how even the game was. So overall, a great quarterfinal. Looking back on Margao's season, I've spoken many times that this has to be a disappointing season for them. When you look at the record books on the website, it shows like team that has gone undefeated the most times, and it's Margao. And they went undefeated in 2011, 2012, 2014, maybe even 2015, but they've had an unbeaten streak for so many seasons. So for them to finish fifth and got knocked out of the quarterfinals is unheard of. So definitely a disappointing season for them, but they're the type of team, they'll reflect on it over the year, and I'm sure next year they'll come back even stronger and be back to their regular selves. After the game, I spoke to Aldana's captain, Jason D'Souza, who said, "It was a tough, hard-fought game and emotional game by both sides, but one team had to come through, and playing a team we haven't beat in years, we fought through adversity and beat them in back-to-back games to win the Division Cup and then advance to the semifinals." Moving on to the final game at 12:15 p.m. was Aguada versus Mopsa. This was another good game between the second seed and the seventh seed, and I think everyone predicted Aguada would win this one. However, I did think it would be a close game just because Mopsa does have some great young players. They just lack the experience. So it was interesting to see how Mopsa would do in a quarterfinal game. Usually young players tend to play very well during the regular season, but then kind of fade and choke in the playoffs because they're very nervous and it's a new experience for them. But this was not the case with Mops at all. They came out blazing. They were pressuring the ball. They were challenging. They were making moves. They were actually playing very, very well. This high intensity and pressure was rewarded about 15 minutes in when Stefan Rebello scored a beautiful shot from the right side off the left post and in. It should be noted that Aguada's all-star goalkeeper, Andrew D'Souza, was away with a knee injury for this game. However, it was a beautiful shot. I'm not sure many goalies would have been able to save it. And Mopsa took a well-deserved 1-0 lead. And at this point, alarm bells were ringing because we were thinking, could this be a huge upset? The seventh seed making it to the semis. And who is this Mopsa team? Like, they were almost unrecognizable. They were playing so well. Now, the problem with playing this way with such high intensity and pressure is that it works very well and it catches the other team off guard, but it's very difficult to maintain over the course of a 90-minute game. So normally what happens is you start off well, but then you begin to fade. So you have two options. You can either play with a high intensity at the beginning and capitalize, so take a 2 or 3 goal lead, or you can play with high intensity and then fade a little bit and then ramp up the intensity again, because you won't be able to maintain that intensity for 90 minutes. So that's your best bet, is to do one of those two strategies. Unfortunately, Mompsa just tried to keep ramping and ramping and ramping up the pressure, but they started to become a little bit more and more fatigued. And this led to a lot of mental errors by them, leading to Aguada's goals. The first goal was off a corner kick. Danford Gomes, completely unmarked, went for a header, but it actually deflected off his body and in. But who cares? A goal is a goal. And about 10 minutes later, Jason Rebello was found with a beautiful pass by Cruyff Dos Remedios and pretty much walked into the net on an open breakaway. So it was 2-1 Aguada. And at this point, I was wondering how Mopsa was going to do. After halftime, Aguada received a free kick just outside the 18-yard box, and Cruyff took an amazing left-footed free kick that curled over the wall and into the bottom right corner. However, it was from a fair distance, and I do think the goalie should have done better on this. He almost got to the ball, but I think that maybe a more experienced keeper would have made the save and prevented it from going in, because it was a great free kick placement-wise, but it was from very far away, so the goalie had a lot of time to see it coming. This ended up being the final score, with Aguada winning 3-1. I think it was a more comfortable scoreline than the actual game itself, because Mopsa was still putting on the pressure. And overall, I just want to say that if you're going to lose in the playoffs, you want to go out with a bang. And I got to give Mopsa full credit. They, even when they were down 3-1 with 10 minutes left, they were putting on the pressure. They were trying to create chances, making crosses, really putting the Aguada defense under stress. So full credit to Mopsa. I love the way they approached this game. I think they played at a very high level. It's just unfortunate that they waited till the quarterfinals, because they just ran into a very, very talented Aguada team. So although a great effort by Mopsa, Aguada came out with the win 3-1 and will be advancing to another semifinal. After the game, I spoke to Aguada's captain, Croydon, who said, quote, "Mopsa came out with something to prove. They are an organized team full of youth and speed. I commend Margao's system and their academy, Mopsa, from recruiting, coaching, and developing their own players and talent within. We were missing some key players, our number one keeper, Andrew D'Souza, Casey, and Ian. But we had other players step up and fill some big shoes. When it was all said and done, I believe experience prevailed. After Mopsa took the lead 1-0, no one pressed the panic button, as our experience eventually took over the game, as we are a playoff team and have the experience on our side. We unfortunately had our MVP Lester playing injured and less than 50%, so it helps if you have one of the best players in the GSL, Cruyff, score an incredible free kick. Aguada has made it to the championship finals 4 out of the last 6 years. So I think if we have our full team, we can defend our championship." So some very positive and complimentary quote from Croydon about his team. But to be fair, I think everything he said was realistic. And the fact that they've made it 4 out of 6 years shows that they have a championship pedigree and that they have the talent. So interesting to see what will happen in the semifinals between them and Kolva. All right, looking ahead to the semifinals, we have the number one seed Lotolim against the number four seed Aldana. This is a game that Lotolim is heavy favored to win, and that's because not only are they undefeated this season, but I don't think Aldana has ever been in Lotolim in a playoff game. So huge odds stacked against us. That being said, I think it's going to be a great game, similar to the Margao game. I think it's going to be very close, settled by one goal or two, and it's going to come down to mental discipline, which team can focus and play their game, because Lotolim, you know, is going to show up and put in a good performance, but will they put in a great performance? Whereas Aldana, we could range anywhere from a disaster performance to a great performance. So I think it's very performance dependent. I do think this is the year that maybe we can upset Margao and then upset Lotolim to go to the finals for the first time in 9 years. However, I do think it's going to be a very close game and it could go either way. Moving on to the other semifinal, we have Kolva versus Aguada. I actually think this might be the most interesting game of the weekend, because even though Aldana and Lotolim will be a close game, I think Kolva and Aguada are two teams that are very different in their approach and where they are as a team. Kolva has a lot of young players, but also a lot of veterans, and they haven't made it to a finals in a long, long time, and they've never won a championship. Contrast that with Aguada, who's been to the finals 4 to 6 times and has a lot of talent on their team. So it's interesting to see, will the, you know, regular contenders Aguada, who've been there before, constantly are, you know, vying for championships, or will it be Kolva, a team that hasn't been in the finals in years and years and is really trying to reestablish themselves as one of the best teams in the leagues, coming off a great season, finishing third. So I think this is going to be a great game. However, I do think experience will prevail once again, and Aguada will win and make it to yet another finals. All right, that's it for predictions. Let's get to the awards. We'll be right back. All right, let's get to some awards. Just a disclaimer before we start, you need to have a sense of humor when you receive these awards. Please don't take them personally or get offended. It's mostly for humor's sake and just to give some recognition to some people at the end of a great season. So starting off, the first award is for the breakout season. This is a player that really established his name in the GSL for the first time, and this award goes to Johnny Van Dreen of Kolva. Moving on, we have the Peak Performance Award. This is given to a player that is known in the league, but has had a really, really good season and played to his highest potential. This award goes to Lester Fernandez from Aguada. Next up, we have the Rising Star Award. This is given to a player that is still not as well known in the league, but is a rising star and has the potential to become a regular all-star in the league going forward. And this goes to AJ Pacheco of Donna Paula. Next up, we have the award for Best Trash Talker. This goes to Neil Da Silva of Lotelem, who during a game against Aldana said in front of the ref, "Don't listen to these guys, they're a bunch of talkers, they're gonna talk to you the whole game," which was honestly the best trash talk, because once he says that, you're in a catch-22, because if you defend yourself to the ref, you're talking and proving him right, but if you don't say anything, you're not defending yourselves, so the ref will assume he is right. So great trash talk from Neil, very, very well done. The next award goes to the worst trash talker. This goes to Aaron D'Souza from Kolva, who during the middle of the game, after getting nutmegged, called out a player saying, "Call me when you get a national team call up." This was just really bad trash talk, because you don't want to call someone out for saying that they haven't got a tryout for a team. If you had made the team, you could say, "Let me know when you've been called up to the national team or you're capped for your country." But just to go to a tryout and then get cut, you don't really want to bring that up. So I think that trash talk could be improved going forward. Next up, we have the award for Worst Jersey, and this is won unanimously by Aguado Waves. They used to have this great all-black New Zealand jersey. I don't know what they're wearing this year. It might be FC Porto, I'm not really sure to be honest, but it's white on the front with kind of blue. Then it has blue on the back with white. It's just a disaster because there's so many teams that have white or blue. So Aguada, please go see Frank at AC Soccer and get yourselves some new jerseys ASAP. Next up, we have the award for Best Fans, and this goes to the Lotli Goatees, who has not only a great fan presence with lots of people showing up for the game, but they're a very active crowd, but civil crowd in the sense that they yell for goals, they're very involved, they cheer on their team, they boo the opposing team, but they're not like cussing out players or swearing at the ref or getting in fights. So great fan base from Lotelem, very impressed with them. Next award is the Michael Phelps Award for Best Dive, and this goes to Craig Raj from Lotelem, who honestly makes an art out of diving on the soccer field. He's not going to be happy that I called him out for this, but hey, maybe next year you'll get rid of the diving and you won't win this award. And our final award goes to the Best Post-Game Celebration, and this goes to the team of Kolva, who after game somehow has these ridiculously elaborate and nice barbecues featuring barbecue chicken, hamburgers, pop. They get their family involved, they have speakers going with some great music, and last Sunday after the quarterfinal game, they were nice enough to let me sample one of their hamburgers, and it was very, very high quality. So big shout out to Kolva for the Best Post-Game Celebration. All right, that's it for the annual GSL Podcast Awards. As I said, they're done in jest, so don't take it too personally. It's all in good fun. That's it for this episode. Good luck to all the teams in the semifinals, and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.